always taking care of business is Brian Waldron. G'day, Brian.
How are you?
I'm going good.
I was fascinated by the comments today in the paper that Roy Ward's written a piece in the Age that Larry Kesselman's pushing to get AFL teams involved in basketball. What are your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, we tried it once with soccer. I think Carlton had the Carlton Soccer Club, and they were going to get involved. Look, maybe somewhere down the track. I think there's a couple of big soccer clubs overseas that have offshoot teams as well. There might be soccer clubs, but they've got basketball teams. And
FC Barcelona is the one that...
handball teams as well. Larry Kesselman, I'd like to ask the fans, if you barrack for Collingwood, and Collingwood had... They're doing it with netball, aren't they? I mean, Collingwood's got the netball
side. They had.
Got the netball side. But if Collingwood or Richmond or Essendon, any of those clubs in the AFL, had a basketball team playing in the NBL, would you follow that basketball team? And also, it could be part of, who knows, could be part of your membership as well.
So, I've always had a...
It's a way of is it a way of expanding your football club by having a, like Collingwood has been doing with, I mean, we've got AFLW, Collingwood's got that, they've got the netball team as well.
Yes, but there's a difference, Kevin. I always remember Chris Green, my grandson, Michael Green's boy, very, very bright, was involved in...
Overseas in America at the moment.
Still and involved in sport over there. And he gave a lecture once that I listened to and I took great note of, that he spoke about that Australians love the best of the best, Kevin. So when the best of the best are performing, we follow and we support in droves. So rugby league, we follow that. Netball, best of the best of teams playing here. The issue that we have with basketball is even though it's getting some cut through, it's not the best of the best. Because if you look at social media, for example, the tweeting all day from the kids is all about LeBron and everyone else that's playing in the best of the best over there. Ben Simmons. So when the Australian team plays in the Olympics, that's the best of the best playing. We get behind it. But essentially here, Melbourne United have got Casper Ware and some other players. But I'm not too sure that Australians, their Collingwood supporters would follow a Collingwood team unless it's the best of the best. Because the Collingwood netball team, and let's remember there's a strong gender element in the netball that the women obviously love, and men as well, but they don't play it as much as the women do. But they put together some really good players. Shani Layton was a really high-profile women's netballer that came in and was the face of the Collingwood netball. So there was someone that we knew was a great Australian player that was playing for Collingwood. So they filled the stands and did a great job. We know the Vixens over the years have had some Sherelle McMahon and some wonderful players who are great on the world stage. I'm not sure the basketball can do that. I'm concerned. The other question I have, if you said to a Collingwood person, just get me in a final series or and I'll be happy, or win me a premiership in soccer or netball or anything else, they're just going to say, get me in a final series. It's like asking, do you care if your club's making any money or not? They don't. They just care about their team winning games. So I would say the Collingwood would probably say, this is all wonderful to have all these interests, but aren't we a footy team first and foremost? Isn't that what we're all about? Yes, aren't we all about doing what the Tigers did at Punt Road?
The business of sport, you would be telling us that you always want to try and grow your business, and if you're a sporting club becoming a sporting complex and a club, then you're going to branch out, aren't you? And Collingwood has branched out.
If it commercially adds to your bottom line and it helps you, what's Collingwood's core business now? It's a really interesting question what they call it. To me, their core business is winning premierships. That's what they're in. The Collingwood are in the business of winning premierships. They're not in the business.
With the football side of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, that's their core business. They're not in the business of running gymnasiums or doing other things. Richmond have done, Brendan Gale's done a super job running that as a business, but their core existence and reason for being is to win AFL premierships. That's what they're in the business of doing. So every effort and energy should be going into doing
that.
So
you don't think that AFL clubs, which would be great for the NBL, will... at some stage, have a basketball team in the competition. Now, you know, the Collingwood Magpies playing in the NBL, the Richmond Tigers, the Essendon Bombers, Carlton Blues.
Well, I'm concerned that it's not the best of the best. Now, you go the other way. Collingwood had the Magpies.
But it would be in the NBL. It would be the best competition in the country.
But it's not the best in the world, not the best of breed. I mean, the best netball competition in the world is a netball competition that plays here, from what we understand. Or the one in New Zealand. They've split that now. I know this Storm, for example, Dave Donahue, it'd be interesting to ask Dave sometime, but they put together the team on the Sunshine Coast that won the National Netball Championship last year. Now, how does that help their bottom line? I'm not too sure, but if that helps their bottom line and their reason for being may be different now. They're a privately owned business. So their reason for being would be to make money in the end, but also to win premierships along the way. So if it's as simple as bolting on another world-class team into that, that's great. But my concern with basketball, it isn't world class here. It's not. You're not bowling the LA Lakers onto Collingwood, are you? It's very different. That's just my perception of it. I might be wrong. What do you think?
Well, both Carlton and Collingwood had soccer sides in the National Soccer League, I've been told, off the message bank. Footy clubs own pubs and pokey venues, Brian, so they branch out.
Stop right there. That's not about growing their business. That's about paying for their business. There is not a sporting club in the country, in major league sport in this country, that does not need a non-core revenue stream. Every single one of them relies on their gaming to fund their business. So that's what that is. That is not about branching. That is to pay the bills. That's why they do that, Kev.
Some of these messages also saying, my Collingwood guy, my girls follow the AFLW side and the netball side. And I would follow the basketball side as an ex-Magic Dragons supporter. So
there you go.
There's someone who would just embrace all the teams that Collingwood's got in the competition. Also asked, if Richmond had an NBL team, could they be called the Tigers? Because we had the Melbourne Tigers, and that
probably
was Melbourne United discarded that name. I think they still hold some rights to that name as well. And that's
but
always
the Gaze boys own that. They might own that. I don't know.
I'm not quite certain in terms of the coming into the NBL, because that was one of the problems, wasn't it? Because the Tigers name disappeared from the NBL and became Melbourne United. Paul joins us in Castlemaine. Good day, Paul.
How you going, boys?
Good, thanks, Paul. Got your thoughts on the AFL and NBL?
Not a lot, really. It'd only be membership driven, I reckon. So why don't they start off with hooking up with an SCABL side, maybe?
Hooking up with the what? Sorry.
With an SCABL side.
Seabull Code. Yeah. Well, that's the second tier down, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, look, it gets back to what the clubs exist for. I mean, what every footy club exists to win premierships, from what I understand. Now, how you get there? Now, you might run if you ran a netball club like Collingwood do, and it helps your bottom line, or it's just maybe it isn't just winning premiers. Maybe Collingwood's imprimatur now is that they are a social community club, and so as part of that is to have an involvement in a sport that is female centric as such and has far more reaches than what their football team does. I don't know if it's part of their social conscience. Maybe, I don't know, or it might just be that
don't you think
makes them bigger and better.
Win premierships and still branch out.
Melbourne Storm did this year. That's what I said. Melbourne Storm won the women's netball and they won the rugby league.
Yes, but an AFL side, you're saying, it seemed to me that you're a bit anti Collingwood branching out, going for the netball team, going for a basketball team. They're seeing themselves more as a social group or social club rather than just our number one priority is to win a premiership.
Well, I'm not convinced.
But can you win the premiership and still branch out?
Unfortunately, it's just a perception. I'm not convinced that basketball here, because it's not the best of the best, is necessarily going to ever get people following it, because it's a transient sport for people here. The people that play basketball here in this country are either at the end of their career or in the middle of their career when they can't go any further. And at that level, they're not the top players. Or they come back from playing at the top end, or they're on their way through transitioning through college system into that. You get some come back and play at the end of their careers, but they're not the best of the best compared to what we're seeing overseas. Because the money's not here for starters, and it's just not what it is. But that doesn't mean it can't be successful. It's a boutique business. It's a boutique competition. But we have seen a lot of these teams over the years go broke, haven't we? A lot of the basketball teams have gone broke for whatever reason. And we've seen clearly this year.
I think we had four or five teams in Melbourne at one stage.
Yeah, well, we've seen clearly this year that it's not sustainable to have any more than a couple from what we've seen, because there's too many other things to do and they're not going because they're not the best of the best. I mean, it's just the United are really strong, but how many United players can people name? And that's not a blight on the United.
Well,
it's just a fact.
Melbourne United would be able to name the whole squad.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, my 17-year-old kid could name everyone that's playing at the Cavs, and every bloke that's playing at the Lakers, and every bloke that's playing at Utah, and every bloke that's playing at any major team. That's what they follow.
Trout wants to talk a bit of cricket. G'day, Trout.
Boys, first of all, you're talking about basketball and football and the AFL link. Let it go. We don't need to link it up. Please, just too much. Now, look, it's another great weekend in cricket. Brian, Sydenham Hillside took on Gladstone Park. And you know what? Left arm heat got dragged. I got dragged, Brian, 2 for 12 or 4 as we dominated Gladstone Park to a low score of 56. So, you know, I'm trying to push my way up the grades for Australia there, KB. I reckon I'm not far off.
You know what? I don't know anyone pumps up their own tyres as much as Trout when it comes to cricket.
No, he wins. He wins. You're the best, Trout.
I'll tell you one thing. I do know, Trout, that Cam Bancroft is a certainty now to be in the first test. Do you agree with that, Trout?
Well, it's either him or me, but I'd say he'd get in KBJ.
So,
Trout, let me be honest with you, Trout. Yep. We get a lot of SMSs about your bowling. They reckon you're crap.
KB, how many SMSs you get all day when the people...
They reckon you're crap, Trout. They reckon you're one of the worst bowlers of all time. You pump up your own tyres, you're a mug.
KB, at Sydenham Hillside, I hold the club record for the most wickets talked out at the club.
And where?
At Sydenham Hillside.
Most wickets talked out at the club.
Yeah, I do. I talk them out, KB. They go swing and they want to smack me out of the park.
Why does that not surprise me that you talk them out?
Well, it's part of the gift.
It is.
Who's a greater local champion out there other than Trout? 9429 1116. Who's the great local champion out there other than Trout? Because when it comes to local champions down at Wood End, Trout is the greatest sports hero down there.
Now, I want to talk to you about cricket. Hopefully we're going to get Graffy on.
Yes, he's going to come on after the break.
Everyone wants to knife Renshaw, but there's a really interesting stat someone tweeted today that I've just got the boys to put up comparing Peter Hanscom's
All right, we'll last talk about it after the break.
To Renshaw's last 12 months, and one opens and one bats at five.
Well, another bloke called Cam Bancroft, in his last seven innings, is averaging about 150. Welcome back, 26 minutes past 11. You demanded when you came in today, Brian, that we had to get Sean Graff on the phone because you're absolutely disgusted with the batting performance of the Victorian side yesterday. So Sean Graff joins us, the voice of cricket in this country, Victorian cricket manager. G'day, Sean.
Hello, KV. Hello, Wally.
No, that'd be nice. No, we've let you off. We have been talking about you in such glowing terms, and yesterday your mob lost 6 for 10.
They didn't bat too well, I must say. Pretty disappointing, really, considering it is a pretty good wicket from all accounts.
So what happened?
How can you lose 6 wickets for 10 runs at this level?
Well, you can. We were, if you remember, a few years ago against New South Wales, I think we lost 5 for 9.
So, oh, good. That's better.
Yeah, so we're going for more records. No, it's just one of those things where maybe they weren't quite switched on, which certainly looks that way, and they've got out there and bit of disarray, I suppose. When wickets fall quickly, it tends to happen where if you don't have someone that really does take stock, which obviously didn't happen, you can have this sort of collapse. Especially more so, I reckon, nowadays than ever, where players are very much in the frame of attack as the best form of defence, as against the old days where you tended to try and just protect your wicket at all costs. It's a slightly different mindset, but there's no excuse. We were very poor.
Started well. Travis Dean made 3 off 7 balls. Maxwell did his test chances a lot of good. 4 off 9 balls. Peter Hanscom came in. He made a beautiful duck off 5. Finch did well. He made a duck off 2. Then we had Gotch came in. He made a duck off 7, but he got his eye in. Tremaine made 2 off 19.
He was a bit unlucky, though, KB.
Was he? Very unlucky.
We'll give him a bit of a tip.
Peter Siddle made 3 off 9. Shane Bolan made 3 off 7. And Farwood, of course, did very well. He's not out. He didn't score, but he faced 3 balls. Got to put him up higher in the order, I reckon.
Yeah. And what are they now?
It wasn't a great effort.
What are they now?
They're now over 250 ahead, so they're one down still. For Alex Doolan's 130 not, and George Bailey's 54 not. So we've got a little bit of work to do. But
how old's Alex Doolan?
Weather may save us.
Alex Doolan, George Bailey's playing well.
Yeah, he is. He's playing superbly. He's someone no one's even mentioned, but he's someone that when he was in that side, he played well. He played in an Ashes series. So I think he's someone that maybe it's smoky, but. At this point,
he's too old, isn't he?
Well, it's the best player at the time, and he's someone I think has performed pretty well all 3 games, in actual fact. So he may be a smoky.
So was Ed Cowan the best player at the time too?
Yeah, no.
He's too old.
Yeah, I think he could be a little bit old. I think you'll find that Bancroft will get an opportunity.
Certainly.
I think Cartwright's the other one I'm hearing.
So, Graff, I want to ask
Hang on. Cartwright. So, Sean, you're saying Bancroft is going to come in, open for Australia, and the number 6 that everyone's talking about, you reckon it's going to go to Cartwright?
Yes, and I think the keeping spot will go to Neville.
This is the voice of cricket. Everyone's been talking about, what's the makeup of the Australian side. The voice of cricket knows what it is. Bancroft to open, So we've got Peter Neville coming in as the wicket keeper. And Cartwright is going to bat at number six. So we'll ask the fans, what do you think of that? 9-4-2, 9-11-16.
So the mood would be wonderful in that game with Wade and Maxwell playing there, wouldn't it? Be going well?
Well, it's been quite interesting. I think there's a little bit to do with the fact that there's pressure on these guys, and I think they've struggled a little bit. And if you look around the country, it's very similar with guys like Renshaw's really found it, being inexperienced, still only young. I think he's struggled a little bit as well with having to the expectation of having to perform to get the runs to get to seal his spot sort of thing. So I think he's under a fair bit of pressure. He's failed in all three games, and so Bancroft's been so good, and I would see pointless coming in to bat at six. I think he'd have to open, so I'd say he's really putting pressure on that spot. And then they've got the option down the track. He was a keeper, in actual fact, but Sam Whiteman took that spot from him in Western Australia. So there is that option down the track if he was to get in there. And I just feel that Cartwright, with that little bit of bowling, even though he's bowling most really isn't up to the speed at this point in time, it does give them a chance to have someone with some medium pace bowl around, bowl 10, 15 overs, which is what they want. And I think the selectors may have lost faith with Wade having failed again, and the fact that Neville's had a pretty good start to the season. And it's a safe selection. They go back to him in line with the Ashes series coming up.
So Sean Graffis joins Victorian Cricket Manager, the voice of cricket in this country. So is Bancroft a batsman who keeps wickets, or is he a wicket-keeper batsman?
Well, he started as a wicket-keeper batsman, and then he got rid of the gloves. He wanted to concentrate on his batting, and they had another young keeper in Whiteman, and so he got the gloves, and Bancroft became an opening bat. And I think if you remember, one of the tours that was cancelled, I can't remember, was it Bangladesh early days or Zimbabwe, I can't remember, but he was on that tour. And unfortunately, wasn't able to actually play because they cancelled the tour. So therefore, I think he's someone that's been in the eyes of the selectors for a while, and now he's made so many runs, he's put so much pressure on that all of a sudden I think he may get the opportunity.
Someone's tweeted through and told us that Peter Hanscom, he should be under the spotlight. He's had 14 innings and made 494 runs in Test cricket in 2017. His average was 35.28. And then Renshaw's had 13 innings. He's made 492 runs, just two less. In 2017, he's got an average of 37.84, but we're hearing nothing about the position of Hanscom.
Yeah, look, I've got no doubt Peter Hanscom's under a fair bit of pressure as well. He's failed this game. He's got a couple of 50s in the previous one. He needs to do more. I think the fact that that Bancroft's putting so much pressure on that opening position, and they wouldn't want to change the structure of their middle order, that's the reason I think that Renshaw would be under a fair bit of pressure. If someone was jumping out of their skins to get that middle order spot, I've got no doubt that Hanscom would be under a bit of pressure, because he hasn't done anything in these first six hits in Shield cricket as far as getting a big score. But the only reason why I'm saying Renshaw's under pressure, because Bancroft being an opening bat has just made so many, he's knocked the house down.
I'm fascinated by the whole process. And I know it's really difficult for you to comment in your role, but I always go back to when South Africa...
Nothing's difficult for Sean Graff. Well, he's the voice of cricket.
I mean, when South Africa came out, how many years ago? 4 or 5 years ago, and knocked us off here. I remember reading articles about them, and the Captain Smith said that the planning to win the series out here was nearly 2 years in the making, where they planned meticulously and prepared their squad for that. And regardless of what took place, how they were performing, they invested in those people 2 years out, and they delivered. We have to be frank with this and say that our whole policy is somewhat of a dog's breakfast, Graffy. Not the bowling so much, but the batting appears to be. Now, is that as a result of the quality of our batsmen, or is it a process thing?
Oh, look, I think there's always, even though you may not see it, there is a process behind there. Certainly very much Cricket Australia and Pat Howard has got a focus on certainly the Ashes this series and the Return series in 19. I think it's good that someone like, we might have a situation where Renshaw may be under pressure, because you've got another batsman in bank. I think the biggest issue has been more around that number six spot and the all-rounder. That's the key. I think everything else is pretty settled. I think Khawaja, even though he's gone the subcontinent and maybe he hasn't made runs, but I still think he's a fine player, and especially in our conditions and also in English conditions, I think he's fine as well. But maybe the subcontinent's an area that he's weak. I think generally speaking, though...
We may have just lost Sean. It looks, sounds like he's just dropped off to me.
Is that deliberate, do you reckon, from Gravity?
A big hook came out and just grabbed him. That's the voice of cricket.
So we're
just been told that Phil Luton, a journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald, has just tweeted that Pat Howard was chatting to Matt Renshaw, who's about to bat against the Test pace attack in the Nets, and he said that suggests to him that he's going to be in at the Gabba. Well, I don't know whether you can say that suggests he's going to be in. If someone's having a chat to you in the Nets, he might be actually giving you some bad news that, you know, by the way, unfortunately, you're going to be out.
Do you hear that, Graffy?
I don't think we've got... We're trying to get him back at the moment. His phone may have gone dead. So we're not quite certain, but that was interesting. Sean Graff, says Bancroft in. He's hearing Neville's in as the keeper and Cartwright's coming in at number six. There's no way known that they cannot pick Bancroft. It's too compelling. The runs he's made are just too compelling. So I can't see how Renshaw stays in unless they're just going to bat Bancroft at number six or they decide they're going to get him to wicket keep and bat as well.
I feel the number six one... And Sean might be there now, eh?
Yeah, Sean, I was just saying that Journo in Sydney has just been tweeting that that Pat Howard's been having a chat to Renshaw and the Nets, and he thinks that's a sign that maybe he's going to be in at the Gabba. He's going to, against the pace attack in the Nets. It could be he's tapping him on the shoulder saying, mate, sorry about this, but you're out.
Yeah, so, KB, I just lost you there.
Okay. Now, Phil Luton, a journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald, has just tweeted that Pat Howard is chatting to Matt Renshaw, who's about to bat against the Test pace attack in the Nets, and he's saying that suggests to him that he's going to be in at the Gabba. I'd be saying Bancroft's got to play, so it might, more than likely, is tapping him on the shoulder saying you're out.
Well, it could be one of two conversations, couldn't it? Look, I would think... I would love to see Renshaw stay there, and he quite possibly will. But all I'm saying is, I think it's
impossible to leave Bancroft out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nearly impossible, and it would be inconsistent if you were to bring him in and bat him at six. Like it's a bit like when Maxwell got thrown in and bat at three because we need to cover it. Cartwright goes in and opens and bats at three. You know, these are the sort of things that does open you up as a selection panel when you're making inconsistencies maybe like that. But in this situation, I've got no doubt that Australian cricket and the selectors would love wish to keep Renshaw in that side because he started really well, and it's just of recent times. Obviously, he struggled that little bit, but I've got the fact that Bancroft's made so many runs and he's knocking the door down, it's putting a lot of pressure on them to make the call.
Is Cartwright any good? He's averaging four.
Yeah, look, Cartwright,
his bowling hasn't done anything yet. Tell us about him, because that's a big ask to come in at six and be a strong contributor.
Yeah, look, Cartwright is a very good batsman. He's potentially to be a very good player. Very hard. He's one of the hardest hitters of the ball I've seen. And
so you're a fan. Bowling,
yeah, I'm a fan. His bowling's not quite there at the moment, but it's something that he's got to learn, and I think hopefully they can develop that. But I think from a batting point of view, batting there and having to bowl maybe some of those overs, there's 10 overs where you've just got to give the main man a bit of a break and maybe pick up one for 30, one for 35. That's the sort of role he's got to play. And I think he can do that potentially. And right now, I think he still would be able to do that. So I don't think that's that big a call. You know, I'd love to see Glenn Maxwell there, but I think the feeling I'm getting is that they want to have that medium pace all-rounder sitting there at six.
So just looking at the wickets, does this have any impact? The Wacker appears to be a road. They've scored 600 runs for about five wickets. We lost how many in the first 2 days? 20 wickets for 200. Is it about, have they doctored the pitch up beautifully for Bancroft to make his 200, or is it just what it is?
No, I think it's what it is, to be quite honest, Wally. Our deck over here at the MCG has been fine, and both sides have said that. It's just been poor batting. And
poor old Wade.
Tasmania's shown straight away that they're able to bat on it because they're one for 200 and something.
Poor old Wade, he's cooked, is he? It's sad.
Yeah, I think there's been so much pressure on him, and the fact that they've really made it known that he had to make runs during these first four or five innings, and he hasn't, which I think it really has put a lot of pressure on him. And I think the fact that Neville's played well, and it's also a safe option that they'd go back to him.
Always great to catch up, Sean. Good luck to the Vics.
She's very in trouble, Kev.
We've got the job in front of us. But you know what? With Sean Graff there, anything can happen.
Okay, but a correction year could be coming up.
Correction year. Sean, thanks for that. Sean Graff, Victorian Cricket Manager. Take a break. We'll come back. Fact or fiction.
They say lying is the second language of football.
Yeah, no, he's a chance. He's a real chance to play. He's probably as much chance not to.
What is fact? What is fiction?
I can't lie!
Speculation, innuendo, honesty.
And the truth shall set you free!
We'll give it to you straight. Fact or fiction?
Fact or fiction? What's fact? Well, what's Kev, fiction?
Kev, we're about 9, 8 and a quarter hours away from the future of Australian soccer. So it's a fact that the future of the game rests on the little bobbly head of a 38-year-old.
I think it does.
That's a fact.
I think Tim Cahill, he's our miracle man. He's our saviour. Got us into this last game, which is game number 23. And it's up to Tim to get us to Russia as well. I think that's a fact.
Yeah. Well,
We've just got to pray that Timmy has a good game.
I'm actually excited by it. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a full house.
Been a long road.
As the saying goes, in Ange, we trust Kevin until tonight, because after tonight, he's gone.
No, well, I actually said when we started this campaign 884 days ago, we had the slogan, in Ange, we trust. I said, let's hope it finishes that way.
So after tonight, is he gone, do you think? Well, win or lose?
You'd have to suggest he's gone, because he's never confirmed when it came out from David Davidovich that he was going to be leaving. I mean, it wouldn't have been too hard to say, no, look, that's wrong. If we're there, mate, I'm all the way to Russia. I'm not bailing out. But the fact is, he's never said that. You've got to assume that win, lose or draw tonight, that's the end of Ange.
Mm.
Well, there's no draw. Win or lose.
Well, all I can say is all the best to everyone involved, because it is a huge... And look, you know, all the crap talk about... They don't compete. They exist as well as soccer in this country. And we, as you know, I've always said, Kevin, like you, I love my soccer, so I'd love us to win tonight. Kevin, it appears the bounce is dead.
Well, I hope that's fiction. I hope that's fiction.
But is it fact?
No, I'm not going to say it's fact, because you know what? I'm going to believe that the AFL Commission have got some brains, and they realise that you can't destroy a game by taking little bits from it. I mean, why don't we add after a while, well, you just watch the Gaelic game on the weekend. Why don't we just add, if you handball it through the goals, it's a goal.
Yeah.
Or you punch it through the goals. Doesn't matter how it goes through the goals. You can change a game any way that you like. But if you want it to be the game of Australian rules football, you keep the bounce. And I was reading today where the umpiring department, of course, they're very concerned about umpires falling over with very crooked shoulders and crooked backs. Yes.
Right.
Very health and safety occupation.
How's Bill Della? How's his back? Ask
he
him.
Is fantastic.
Yes,
he's
here fantastic. You go. Didn't stop him over all these years,
didn't stop,
did it?
Didn't stop any of them. But they're telling us that they don't bounce the ball, of course, in TAC anymore. They don't bounce the ball in local community football. Well, you know, my answer to that is start bouncing the ball. Instead of saying, let's get rid of the bounce, I'm saying, let's get the bounce back in the game. Let's get it back. All you have to do is take away the stupid rule. Why it was ever brought in is unbeknownst to man, that if the bounce doesn't go straight, we recall it. That's
well,
all we're going
to
do. For 100 years, we never recalled the ball. Recalled the ball for 100 years. It worked beautifully.
I wouldn't have got rid of the third man up, Kevin. I watched the game change this year. We had a grand final this year, and all credit to Richmond for winning with one ruckman, Nankervis, who's not even a traditional ruckman. He's more of a follower and a very good one at that. The second ruckman was Grigg, who's 6'2". They played an extra midfielder and basically gave up the bounce because you couldn't have a third man up. So the advantage is gone from the third man up. So the game is changing. Now, what getting rid of the bounce will do to that, we're not too sure. But I've got a funny feeling they're going to get rid of it and they'll use some medical reason
to
do it.
Well, it's going to be a disgrace for the game. And we should be talking about getting the bounce back into the game and not destroying the game by taking away the bounce, because that's part of the game. It's unique. It's quirky. And I was pleased to see this morning where Corey McKernan and Jeff White both said yesterday that the throw-up after every goal would be a huge step backwards. Huge step backwards.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Kevin, he made the comment that I've made to people too. Imagine trying to combat Aaron Sandlands when he knows every single ball will get thrown up. For mine, it is a great part of the game, says Corey McKernan. So well done, Corey. Speaking a bit of sense, and I'm certain the football fans out there, and I'll take your calls, even just some SMSs coming through, surely the football community wants the bounce to remain. There's got to be some love for the history of the game.
Kevin,
9429 1116 or 0433 98 1116. Bounce or no? Yes or no?
Kevin,
keep or go?
The international rules might have clawed its way back into our psyche a bit.
No, that's fiction.
Oh, is it? Okay.
No, that's fiction.
Really?
Yeah.
How did it rate, I wonder?
Well,
you don't care, do you?
Hopefully it rated okay, but it's got no lasting impression.
As a former Kalar, I can't believe you just abandoned the concept totally of representing your country.
No, no, look. The guys
you
playing,
do.
The game's playing the game.
Mm.
Would have enjoyed
yeah.
it, and it's on their CV. They played for Australia, mm. which is nice. They can talk about that.
Mm.
The camaraderie between players and meeting and having a bit of fun. Mm. It's like getting together with a lot of your mates and going off and playing in a golf tournament, or you're playing handball, or you're playing netball or basketball. It's a lot of fun for those who are playing, but I don't think it has any lasting impression whatsoever on the public. No one will talk about it. No one will recall it. So it's a curiosity. It just fills in a spot on a weekend. So it's fiction to say.
All right. Well, I didn't mind it, so it was interesting.
You reckon it grabbed the attention of the
sporting
public?
I think it's just... Look, the AFL's belief is I need to be at the foreface of the public 12 months of the year, 364 days. So even probably 365.
Does it really?
Well, no, it doesn't need to, but they think they need to.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with more fact or fiction. Welcome back. Ryan Waldron has joined us, and fact or fiction. Now, just some of the SMSs coming through saying, junior umpires don't progress on because of the bounce. Go ask the AFL. Yes, ask the AFL. They'll tell you anything. Kids don't want to bounce the ball, hence they don't stick with umpiring. I don't think it's too hard to actually bounce the ball. But Wally says that's the reason why junior umpires quit. So wake up, Kevin. Taking the bounce away would have zero impact. Well, taking kicking away would have, why not just add punching the ball through for a goal and handballing through? Of course, it'd have more than zero impact. It'd have a massive impact, because no longer would it be Australian rules football. You've been having a tip-off. The bounce is a must in our game, slowly chipping away at our game. That's what makes the difference. Keep the bounce, unique to the AFL. A lot of other ones coming through, keep the bounce. I'm just reading it as they come through. KB, it's not about the AFL community. New umpires are not coming through because of the bounce. That is a fact. Some saying let's have a $120 million referendum about the bounce. Bounce must stay. I'm with you 100%. Keep the bounce. Ban the recall. Calm down. There has been significant changes over the past 100 years, or would you still like 50 players on each side? Well, let me tell you, 100 years ago, yeah, they did not have 50 players on each side. They had 18.
A little bit of fact here that we're very lucky that there was a golf course for Greg Chappell to go and play at in Perth before he watched the Shield game, because now he's seen live Cameron Bancroft, who's going to be the greatest cricket ever played for Australia.
Well, he's in then. He's in. He's got to go. Got to go straight in.
Thank goodness Greg found somewhere to play golf that was. Made him eligible to watch the cricket as well.
You're just cooked. Yeah, he missed the first Shield game because he went.
Now, Kevin, we don't know this is fact, but we are hearing from the right people that the Lions are going to take Rayner, pick number one.
Cam Rayner.
Cam Rayner's the one. We don't know that for a fact. I'm not declaring that, but I am saying that it's highly likely that Rayner will go one, and he's happy to go. So, interesting. There's some names.
Well, they've got to be happy to go because they put the name down. That's part and parcel of putting your name down. It's after 2 years, are they happy to stay?
Oh, no. I think the Lions, you know what? There's a bit of a push in AFL circles for youth, Kevin. I reckon the appointment of Chris Fagan has shown that a little bit of wisdom and experience is not a bad thing around a footy club. I think that footy club's been turned around on the back of some people with some experience and a bit of wisdom and a little bit of willingness to just get things right. And have a little bit of, not parental guidance, but just experiential guidance over the top. I reckon that's really important. You know, when you look back at what happened...
makes you say that? Are you suggesting that Peter Schwab's been given the axe as director of umpire because of his age?
I'd hope not, but I think Peter Schwab... I mean, I'm a fan of Peter Schwab, as you know. I'll declare that. But, you know, wisdom's wasted on the elderly, Kev. It's wasted. So when you've got someone like Peter Schwab that's had years of experience, there should be roles for people like Peter, and there will be. I don't know why he's gone. No one knows why he's gone, whether Peter decided to go. But the game is poorer.
Do you think Peter decided to go?
Probably not. I haven't spoken to Pete. But the game is poorer for not having Peter Schwab in it. People like Peter Schwab in it. So we need to find a role. I'm sure the game will. It's similar to Scott Clayton. You know, Scott Clayton, good footy people are damn hard to find, Kev. The young people, they haven't got the grey hairs and been kicked and punched like Scotty Clayton.
Can't
is.
Put an old head on young.
You
shoulders.
Can't. Game's got to be careful that we don't torch all these experienced people out of the game and think the youth's going to fix our problems.
Brian, always great to catch up.
It's been fun.
Always brought to you by Jet Careers.
Glenn Have a lovely
Green
weekend,
is the man
everyone
down there. Always give them a call, from an elephant to an envelope. They can move anything. Jet couriers. Coming up, Francis Leach is on his way. Run home with Ox and Marco. Don't forget evenings with Finey. Have a great day in sport. I'll catch you tomorrow.